Blog Talk Radio.
Starting the week off right on number1paranormalnetwork.com. It is Sunday night, and it's time for Pro Wrestling Interviews. I'm Dr. John Stamey, live from the world capital of the Number One Paranormal Network, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we're going to have a great show tonight. We got our two co-hosts from Richmond, Virginia, first of all. We got Tony. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
I am doing great. So glad to be back here on Pro Wrestling Interviews. There's a lot to talk about today, so let's get it.
That's exactly right. And the leader of our pack tonight from Richmond, Virginia, again, Steve Logan, Professor Wrestling Stellar Steven. How you doing tonight, Steve?
I'm doing better than I have been. I was sick recently, but I had a great chance to do a catch wrestling seminar with Josh Barnett of UFC and other MMA and pro wrestling, also a broadcaster of New Japan, but I can get into that later. I want to get Tony's thoughts on Royal Rumble and I believe NXT, because I've talked to some Royal Rumble recently, but not with Tony, so I want to get Tony's thoughts on Royal Rumble recently.
Absolutely, and we'll catch Tony as soon as I say thanks to Transamerica Life Insurance that keeps us on the air. And now back to Tony. Steven has posed the first question. What do you think about the Royal Rumble?
Oh, my gosh. I have to say, this year's Royal Rumble has to be my number one favorite Royal Rumble of all time. All time. The matches were so good, so I'm going to get right into it. So before we head into the first match, we did a big surprise from Pat McAfee, who was the special commentator for that night. And there were a lot of, like, mix of, like, so there's some who didn't like Pat McAfee, or there's some who loves Pat McAfee. But I say, like, I was excited to see him, and yeah. So the show kicked off with the men's Royal Rumble match, and whoever was the winner will face Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship at WrestleMania. So number one was Gunther, and number two was Sheamus. And let me tell y'all, Gunther broke the all-time record of being in the Royal Rumble match in 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 40 seconds, which breaks Rey Mysterio's record, actually. And I have to say, that was like a marathon for Gunther, because, like, being at number one and going all the way to the end of the match, being, like, one of the final two, which we'll get into in a minute, that's
the Iron
really
Man.
Amazing. Yeah, it was like, he was the Iron Man. And then coming at Number three was The Miz, which didn't really last long. He only lasted like 4 minutes and 23 seconds and was ruined by Sheamus.
I gotta say, if they wanted Cody to come out there as a surprise, they should have had him as number three. I think that would have been good. Well, they weren't going to be surprised anyways because they did the vignettes, but I think Cody should have been either number two or number three because a lot of my sympathy went to Gunther because he stuck it out the whole match.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, my thing is, I don't think, a lot of people were very excited for Cody to come back, but it did make – but I'm not sure, why would they make him number 30? I mean, yeah, I do agree. I do think, he should have been, at a lower number.
Yeah.
So, that was crazy. But we did get two surprises. No, actually, so three surprises. So, we did get a surprise entrance from WWE Hall of Famer Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
And the returning of Logan Paul and the return of WWE Hall of Famer Edge. And when Edge and the Judgment Day got eliminated, they had a big brawl near the entrance. And out comes the return of WWE Hall of Famer Beth Phoenix. So I can really see a match in the future of Rhea versus Beth. I do know that it's not going to be WrestleMania, which I know we'll get to that in a minute. But Cody, he returned at number 30, and he goes on to win the Royal Rumble match. And it has been confirmed that he will be facing Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Champion at WrestleMania. And then we're going to go on to the next match, which I think this was my all-time favorite match of the night. It was the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match, LA Knight versus Bray Wyatt. Now, at first, I didn't know how they were going to do this, but as soon as the bell rung and, the lights went out and the neon lights, the LED lights, and, LA Knight had, glow-in-the-dark attire on, and Bray Wyatt had the glow-in-the-dark face paint. It looks really, really good, and by this match, I really, really hope that they do this match more often because, it was just such a good, really good match. And at the end, Bray Wyatt picked up the win. The next match was for the Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss versus Bianca Belair. It was a good match. Didn't expect it to be that short. I didn't really expect it to be 7 minutes. But it was an okay match. But Bianca Belair picked up the win. And the next match is the Women's Royal Rumble match, and the first two entrants was Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. And our surprise entrances were the NXT Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez, Zoe Stark, also from NXT, Chelsea Green, who just came back to WWE, and Michelle McCool, and Nia Jax. Oh, and I forgot Indy Hartwell as well. I was actually kind of surprised that Nia Jax came back. I was thinking if she comes back, then maybe she's like fully return to WWE, but she was just back just for the Royal Rumble. So, but
right.
hopefully in the past, hopefully in the future, she'll come back to WWE. The one thing two things I was really happy about that Doudrop is no longer Doudrop. She is back to Piper Nevin, which I'm glad because like I love Piper Nevin more than Doudrop because Doudrop to me Doudrop was just a stupid name. Like I didn't really like the name at all, and it really didn't make sense at all because I didn't because I was wondering like okay like what's a Doudrop like what's Doudrop. Like what?
That's worth the
what
that's,
kind of name?
That's worth the birth of Faye. That's worth the birth of Faye. Sorry, I had a pop job.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing was Asuka, you know, new entrance music, but also she brought back Evil Kana, which really excites
right.
me because I love that gimmick from Asuka and. I really hope it lasts for
right.
a long, long time. But
yeah, I think Evil Kana is money, and I think it's the closest we have to a great Muda in WWE. But I think they shouldn't fumble it. I have greater confidence they won't, but they really need to be careful with Evil Kana because I think it can make them money.
Mm-hmm. And at the end, the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble was Rhea Ripley, which she added to the list of the people who came in at number one and won the Royal Rumble. And she also broke the record of 1 hour, 1 minute, 8 seconds in the Women's Royal Rumble match. So
nice.
Congratulations to her. And We know that she will be facing Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania. And the final match of night was for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship of Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. Really, really good match, too. Roman Reigns did pick up the win, but I am excited about the end because Sami Zayn finally turned on the Bloodline, which we all saw it coming. We all saw it coming. But what we didn't see come was Jey Uso walking out on the Bloodline as well. So the main question is, what does this mean for the Bloodline? What does this mean for Jay? Like, what does this mean for the tag team champions? Like, what does this mean? Because there's so many questions that we are wondering. But, Steve, what did you think of the Royal Rumble?
Well, I think the Bray Wyatt LA Knight match, most people hated it, just trying to be transparent, but I actually thought it was neat, given that it was under blacklight, and that completely, the table break, I thought, in that match was a cool visual because of the glowing debris pouring out of it. It was kind of a squash on LA Knight. And the post-match from that Wyatt LA Knight was kind of neat. It was Uncle Howdy jumping off that stage, that platform, onto this pad that LA Knight was on. It looked like an Alice Cooper concert because the pyro going off and Uncle Howdy wearing that top hat. It's pretty neat. It was like watching a concert fight because they're under blacklight. I'm happy for Gunther. He had a really good showing, and Rhea Ripley, too. Another spot, another moment for the Rumble that was neat was Logan Paul and Ricochet doing that collision. That was kind of cool. That gets turned around. Even my catch coach, who doesn't watch a lot of WWE, he shared that too. I love Evil Karma, her face paint persona coming back, debuting on WWE. But that was cool. I like that she was one of the last three women in the match with the Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. The beatdown after the main event was great. I thought a little bit long, but the handcuffs from Kevin Owens and the super kicks, that was kind of like, it reminded me of ECW back in Tommy Dreamer or somebody like that was handcuffed in multiple steel chair shots or kendo sticks, swings. Kind of had that level of brutality without the blood. I thought the light necklace being spread across the ring was a good visual, very cinematic, after Sami and Kevin were beaten down. I thought overall, good show. I think it got really better after the main event. I think we're going to get Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn in Montreal, possibly an Elimination Chamber, and then possibly a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn tag team match against the Usos. I've heard that this Rumble was better than last year's, is what I heard. I have to go up, by their word, but I enjoy it. I have very low expectations for WWE pay-per-views, especially Royal Rumbles, but with the performance of Rhea Ripley and Gunther, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, it was confirmed last Friday that Roman will defend his title against Sami at Elimination Chamber.
Nice. I think that's a good spot for Zayn. I don't expect him to win, but I think he'll get a good reaction in Montreal.
And moving forward, and we're going to talk about last night, which was NXT Vengeance Day, which was the very first show on the road since the pandemic. And I have to tell you, I mean, I wasn't a big of a fan of last night. I mean, it wasn't really that good in my opinion, but we want to go ahead and get into the card and the results. So the first match they started off was Dijak versus Wesley for the NXT North American Championship. I love these two guys. They have really put on an amazing match. And it was just a whole lot of back and forth. Like Wesley, like he has had an amazing run as the North American Championship. And during the match, Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stacks, Lorenzo, Nate appeared, and they actually, when Dijak attempted the moonsault, they took the bullet for Wesley, and then that really gave Wesley the advantage of doing the backflip kick on Dijak and retaining his title. The next match was for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. We have Fallon, Henley, and Kiana James with Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen versus Katana Chance and Kaden Carter. It was an okay match. I didn't really like how the match ended. They went for the pinfall, and they was holding Kaden's feet to the ground while they was going for the pin, and because of that, they are Fallon and Kiana are the new women's tag team champions. The next match was a 2 out of 3 falls match, Carmelo Hayes versus Apollo Crews. And Apollo Crews, you know, he was celebrating his achievement ever since coming to WWE and NXT. It was a really, really good match, a really good 23 minutes and 31 seconds. And we did get to see the return of tag team partner of Commander. But at the end of Carmelo Hayes got in 2-0, but Commander turned heel on Apollo Crews, and that ended their tag team, which is not surprising because of the way how it happened in the match. Like, I knew, he was probably going to turn heel at some point after the match. So next match was a Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Chase University versus Pretty Deadly versus Gallus versus The New Day. Really good match too. I've been really, really impressed with pretty much lately with Chase University. I think Thea Hale, because I really I don't know, it's just something about Chase University just brings a lot of energy to NXT and the tag team division. And a New Day, I'm glad that the New Day got to come in to NXT to really build up the brand of NXT. But at the end, Gallus got in the win, became the new NXT tag team champions. The next match was a triple threat match. We had JC Jane versus Gigi Dolin versus Roxanne Perez. At the beginning of the match, Roxanne was having a 2-on-1 against both JC and Gigi. But in the middle of the match, JC and Gigi ended up just going ahead and just fighting with each other. But, it was like every woman for themselves. But Roxanne Perez, she really pulled it off and ended up retaining her NXT Women's Tag Team Champion. NXT Women's Champion. I don't know why I said tag team. And the last match was a steel cage match. And it was actually different this time because you could only win by pinfall or submission, but usually the win is by pinfall, submission, or escaping the cage. But in that point, they couldn't escape the cage. They could only win by pinfall or submission. But it was Grayson Waller versus Braun Breaker. Grayson, he did not like the idea of being locked in that cage with Braun. That's what happens when you mess with Braun. But at the end, Braun retained his NXT championship. So, Steve, from this whole card, what did you think of the results?
I'm not surprised that who retained, but how did Gigi and JC do in that women's title match, given that they were a tag team? Because I actually like Gigi, and I think Roxanne's good, but how was Gigi and JC wrestling each other?
But I think, what I was seeing was there was like, hey, like, what are you doing? You know, what we were supposed to be working together, da, 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 da. But they were, they were thinking that, like, they were just, like, screwing each other over, and that's how they ended up fighting with each other. So I kind of knew, like, they wasn't going to work together for that long. Because, like, in this kind of situation, like, it kind of reminded me of back in WrestleMania 26 of Randy versus Cody versus Ted DiBiase, where, you know, Cody and Ted were teaming up against Randy, and they ended up, like, not working together anymore. So it was kind of like that kind of situation that they had.
I haven't been watching NXT, but who's in Gallus? I know it's Wolfgang, and who's the other partner?
Mark Coffey. And his brother Joe Coffey, too. But Joe Coffey is a singles competitor, while Mark and Wolfgang are a tag team.
Oh, okay. So they're like a trio? Yeah, I liked Wolfgang. I'm glad that they're still using UK talent in their NXT US roster. Yeah, a lot of these names, some of these names I'm not familiar with, but I'd probably consider watching that Gigi Roxanne match. Not surprised Braun Breaker to retain. I don't really, not familiar with Grayson Waller, but. So, if I can get into other news, last night, MMA news, Fedor Emelianenko, the last emperor, he retired from MMA, and that was a pretty big deal. He kind of went out in the first round and against Ryan Bader, who was the Bellator heavyweight champion. And Bellator is kind of like second-tier promotion in the U.S. besides UFC. And Fedor is kind of a big name in Japan under Pride. And I thought it was great that all these MMA legends were in the cage after the fight. And Josh Barnett was one of them, too, who I recently did some catch wrestling training with. So very cool moment seeing that after Fedor's loss and him leaving his gloves on the mat. And also Kota Ibushi, who's I think one of my favorite free agents right now in pro wrestling, he is booked for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, which is kind of MMA-focused wrestling with no ropes, which is kind of unique. And I think WWE copied that way back. So I'm definitely watching Kota Ibushi. I sent Tony some – there was a Tokyo Sports report that Ryzen, the MMA promotion from Japan, was offering Kota Ibushi a fight, possibly with Manny Pacquiao, the boxer. So that's huge. I assume Tokyo Sports is legit journalism, so that's pretty big news concerning Kota Ibushi in the combat sports world. Those were some of the fighting news that I had heard that I thought was, you know, I actually watched the Fedor match last night. I was kind of sad that Fedor couldn't get to the second round, but at least he went out losing to a heavyweight champion, which is cool. Yeah, that was big. The Josh Barnett seminar that I went to, it was like 11-1 or 2 and he was so cool. He would give his time to every, you know, person that, and he went longer than I thought he would too. But he even drilled a cross heel hook on me when I asked after the seminar was over. So definitely one of the coolest athletes, wrestlers I've met. We talked before about Suzuki and New Japan and horror movies and metal music and stuff like that. So very cool guy. Very glad that he was at Fedor's fight after the fight was over in the cage. But yeah, lots going on in wrestling and MMA. But John, it's plug time for you.
It's plug time, and thanks a lot, Transamerica. The great life insurance company keeping us on the air tonight on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Back to Steve. Oh, and by the way, we are going to have Mark Ash, professional wrestler, on here in a couple of weeks. He's a great guy. Met him at a Comic-Con, and he's looking forward. He was with WWE, did a bunch of dark matches and some matches on TV. So he's a good guy, and look forward to having him with us here in a couple of weeks. Mark Ash.
Sounds good. Mark Ash. I think the name sounds familiar. I think I'm seeing him a couple of times in some of his matches. But I definitely got to take a look at him.
Yeah, he's from Wilmington and really good guy. It was a lot of fun meeting him.
Oh, cool. So I do know, and there are also a whole lot of wrestling shows coming out right here in Virginia. I know on March 4th, so there's this promotion called Mid-Atlantic Territory Wrestling, and they are going to be having this, like, tour. And their first stop is going to be at, I think, like, Gloucester, Virginia, I believe.
Yeah, Gloucester.
Gloucester, Virginia. So if anybody who's in Gloucester, Virginia, definitely go check them out. It's going to be at Gloucester County High School on March 4th. The doors open at 6, the bell is at 7, and the wrestlers so far that are going to be there is Tough Guy Inc., Victor Andrews, Tar Dynasty, Everest, Extreme Horseman, and Vazari Hatson. And we just came to find out that NXT Originals C.W. Anderson will also be there as well, which is very exciting. I have watched him on ECW. And also, what I'm excited for, which I'm going to this, they're going to be in Chester, Virginia at Thomas Dale High School on March 18th, which this one I'm really, really excited about because I get to see one of my good friends, Rhett Titus, who I know, Steve, like me and you haven't seen him since, I believe, of UEW back in June. Is that right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, he's very cool.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy, y'all. Really, really amazing guy. And also Extreme Horseman will be there, too. A guy named Paul Jordan will be there. And we're also going to have the legendary The Barbarian, Henry Godwin, Ricky Morton and his son, Kerry Morton, and also the legendary, the Perfect 10 Baby Doll, which is very, very exciting. And I know, John, I know you probably hear about Baby Doll. What's like your favorite memory about Baby Doll? Like, what do you think about Baby Doll?
I tell you what, that was probably the time when I was absent from wrestling and working on my business, but I met her before. She was really nice, and can't remember. I think I met her in Charlotte once because she knew the Italian Stallion, and so I got to meet her. She was really nice. But then, you know, she went back to what she was doing. So that's about all I can say about Baby Doll. But she was something
John,
else. What?
Did you ever watch Rock and Roll Express? Because I know Ricky Morton and his son are going to be at the Chester show that Tony and I are going to.
Yeah, I did. In fact, I was part of that crowd that was wrapped around a building in Greenville, North Carolina, three times to get in to see the Rock and Roll Express. That they were, without a doubt, in the Carolinas, the most popular tag team in history. I mean, they were incredible, and Ricky Morton was just, he was just great in the ring, and I got to meet Robert Gibson and sit with him for a couple of hours at a show in Charlotte. Really nice guy, and I never got to really meet Ricky Morton, but I've seen him in action. Robert Gibson was a really pretty good guy. I got to talk with him about some of his old stories and stuff like that. He was at a baseball card show in Charlotte at some random place, and the guy had brought him in, so it was really cool to get to talk to him. But no, Rock and Roll Express, they were about the biggest things in the world around here. I mean, they were true rock stars.
Yeah,
I got to meet them at Big Time Wrestling, and it's funny, Ricky's shirt that he had on, I thought was cooler than the shirt that they were selling. He was wearing a shirt with him and Robert on it, but it's in Young Bucks, and it had, like, Japanese kanji on it. I was like, dude, I want your shirt. He was like, pro wrestling tees. Oh, okay. But, yeah, I've met them before, too. Tony, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah, I'm very excited to meet Ricky Morton and his son, Kerry. I mean, it sucks that, you know, I won't be able to get to meet Robert Gibson because I really wanted to, like, get a picture with, like, the Rock and Roll Express together. But, you know, I know I know the Rock and Roll Express is done teaming together. I know Robert is moving on, but I know Ricky is, like, continuing to wrestle and stuff. John, what about Henry Godwin and the Barbarian? What do you think of those guys?
Barbarian.
I'm sure he knows Barbarian.
Yeah, I know Barbarian. Stro wrestled in Kinston, North Carolina with Barbarian. They were the main event. And so I got to have a late night at Waffle House with Barbarian and Stro, and it was just a lot of fun. Barbarian's a great guy. He's got so much history, and he and Stro had so many great matches. Stro had him in a full Nelson, taking him around the crowd and letting him hit Barbarian on the chest. I mean, that was something they used to do a lot back in the day, and it was just so much fun. I'll never forget the Waffle House in Kinston, North Carolina, where I got to sit there with Stro and Barbarian. There's my Barbarian story for you.
I got a question for John. What's the best wrestler after show spot? Is it Waffle House, Wawa, Sheets?
It's Waffle House. It's Waffle House.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
That's right. When Stro was wrestling in Wilmington, and he's, I think, still the world champion for that promotion, we would always go to the Waffle House across the street. Everybody would go over there. It was just a lot of fun. It really was.
How do you compare Waffle House to Denny's?
I don't know. It's just where everybody goes. I mean, because there's not always a Denny's around, but there's always a Waffle House. That's the real comparison, okay?
No, that's what I needed. Like, I've heard Waffle House too at shows, so I knew that was a thing. I just had to get it confirmed.
Absolutely, it's the only place that we know it's there. Every town in America,
exactly.
And especially, you know, with fast food, because I know a lot of people like, will want to, like, go to fast food restaurants right after a show as well. And, you know, but Waffle House, like, I know, like, you know, so many people in wrestling will always go to Waffle House because, like, you know, Waffle House is, like, pretty popular. So I know there's, like, a whole lot of them in the area.
It's just but universal, also, Tony. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I think a gift you can always give to a wrestler is a Waffle House gift card or certificate. Like that just came to my mind just now. If you want to help a wrestler
That's
out,
right.
You just give them you give them Wawa or Sheets or Waffle House.
Oh, actually, and a quick reminder to everyone too. Like speaking of the, you know, North Carolina, so anyone who's in you know, thin Salem, North Carolina. I want to let you guys know that there is going to be a pro wrestling seminar with former WWE superstar Jamie Noble, which I actually, like, I love Jamie Noble, and cause, like, I, you know, definitely grew up watching Jamie Noble. So it's, like, you know, pretty exciting that he's doing a seminar, and that will be on February 26th of this month.
That is a good guy to learn from. He's an underrated technical wrestler, a very good technical wrestler. He's also a Ring of Honor at one point too.
But sadly, it's not for fans, which pretty sucks. Because you know, if I was able to, I would have loved to work with Jamie Noble, but it's only for trained pro wrestlers only, which kind of sucks. But, you know, I really want to learn from Jamie Noble.
You just gotta find somebody you know. That's the best way. Yeah. Just find somebody you know or throw some money around.
Well, I also want to talk about it because I know we recently lost two amazing wrestlers. Well, the first one we did lose one half of the Briscoe brothers, Jay Briscoe, which was really, really upset at me because, like, I am a big Briscoe brothers fan, and, you know, he sadly passed away from a car accident. And I know we also recently lost the legendary Lanny Poffo, which is also
right.
The brother of the late, great WWE Hall of Famer, the Macho Man Randy Savage, which actually, you know, Landy, like, actually inducted Randy into the WWE Hall of Fame. But Steven, like, what was, like, your most memorable moment with Jay Briscoe?
I got to see him and Mark wrestle in Richmond in 2013, and I believe I saw them wrestle again in Virginia years later. Just mostly in Ring of Honor. They had some great promos. I liked when Mark and Jay cut that promo where they said Terry Funk didn't need a mouthpiece, Bruiser Brody didn't need a mouthpiece. Like, that was, like, the best line I've heard in wrestling. Just very entertaining tag team, good talkers. Never got the chance to be at WWE or as a tag team at IEW, but I think they're kind of underrated. They also had a tag team championship with Noah and New Japan. There was a heavyweight of New Japan and junior champions of Noah when they were lighter. So they were international as well. Mark is one of the nicest wrestlers you ever meet, and heard a lot of good things about Jay after he passed. So I highly recommend if you ever go to Ring of Honor shows or independent shows, like, always try to approach them because you never know how short life is. Because I don't think anybody expected Jay to pass away this early. And also very eerie is that Jay Briscoe and Brody Lee, their last title matches were dog collar matches as well, which is very interesting. Very eerie. Both the love, too. And Lanny Poffo, it's very interesting. I watched this video today. It was he was asked recently at like some signing that about he was under contract with WCW for 6 years and never wrestled, and that's just a weird situation that they would just ask somebody for that long and never have him work. But he actually wanted to be like Gorgeous George, but Stroh was already doing that, and Randy Savage had, you know, won the rights to that name for his valet. And it's just very interesting that someone like Manny Poffo wanted to be Gorgeous George, but Stroh was kind of doing that as Gorgeous George III previously. So very interesting hearing Lanny kind of talk about Stroh recently in one of his last appearances. And Lanny also was a big influence on Aaron Stevens, Damian Sandow, because I had heard that his WWE persona was very influenced by the genius Lanny Poffo. So he both Jay and Lanny have been a big impact. And it's sad that the Poffo family is now gone. Angela, Randy, and Lanny now.
Oh, yeah. And, like, so I definitely want to, you know, say a little bit about Lanny Poffo. So I know Lanny Poffo made his debut on April 16th of 1974 against Wayne Colwyn, what he lost to in that match. He also had matches with the Great Fiji, and he also teamed up with his father, Angelo Poffo, against the veteran team, the Royal Kangaroos, and that was part of the All South Wrestling Alliance. And that same year, like, he went on, him and his father went on to the wrestle for the NWA and wrestle for Big Time Wrestling as well, which and they fought against, you know, Bubba Bristol and Fred Curry, Lou Thesz and Mighty Agar, and, you know, former, you know, NWA World Tag Team Champions as well. But
one thing I forgot to mention was something I heard recently after reading his passing was he actually auditioned to be a New Japan Pro Wrestling commentator in 2018. Didn't get the gig, but I thought it was very cool that he would audition for that. Very good talker, obviously. I think it's neat that he was interested in working at New Japan at that time in his later years.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. I mean, I mean, I think one thing is, you're like, if he did get into New Japan, I think he would have been great for New Japan, his style in wrestling was, you know, very, very good, and I was like
very acrobatic.
Really, yep. You know, and like definitely like, so it was definitely from, it was his wrestling style was like, was definitely kind of different from his brother Randy, because I know, like, because, like, it kind of, like, looks, but their, like, wrestling styles are kind of look similar, but they're also different as well.
Yeah, Randy was a powerhouse that could dive, but Lanny was very acrobatic, almost like a gymnast.
And he also worked with the likes of, like, Terry Funk and Hardy Rays, Roddy Piper, Pauly Blanchard, and he also teamed with Randy. He, you know, he did form a tag team with Ravishing Rick Rude against the Midnight Express, and he also worked with the Rock and Roll Express as well. But I know I did saw a photo on Ricky Morton's post on him talking about his time with Lenny and Pablo, because they were really good friends. And, like, they, like, work together, like, so much. But, yeah, but, like, these guys, like, they were just so young. Man. Like, Lanny was just 68 years old. And Jay, like, he was, like, what? Like what, mid-30s?
I believe. Probably in his late 30s. I didn't check the age, but way too young for Jay.
Yeah, like late 30s.
Yeah.
So now, like, the biggest question is, because I know Jay and Mark are still the current Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that match with Jay Lethal and Mark was really good. I like that he won with the Jay Driller. I like that Mark brought out the tag titles. I assume he could vacate it, but I don't know who he could partner up with right now. I don't really follow the Ring of Honor roster like I used to. So I think he'll either vacate it or he'll find a partner at some point. But I'm just glad that he was able to work AEW, because there was a lot of rumors about politics on the network, but very happy that he got that match with Lethal. Lethal is very emotional during that match.
If Mark does find another partner, it's definitely going to take him a while to find another partner, because he was just so used to teaming up with his brothers. So, I think it's probably going to take him a little while for him to, from heal from this whole thing, because, that was his blood right there. Like, that was his, like, tag team partner since day one. And...
Right.
I mean, he had three children as well, so we don't know. We don't know if he's going to, like, vacate the titles and become a singles competitor, or he's going to, like, keep the titles and find a partner. Like, we don't know. Like, we have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see Mark becoming a singles competitor?
I think most likely, but I think he'll become a tag team wrestler again. It just depends on who he's friends with and who's available. I hope he can still do tag team wrestling, but there's no rush for that. I'd like to see him get a singles run as a secondary title, like a television championship or something like that, because he's kind of underrated. Since it's 8:25 right now, I just wanted to plug Mongrel Jiu-Jitsu in Richmond, Virginia. They were the ones that hosted the Josh Barnett seminar. They were very, my gratitude goes out to them for hosting it, because that was a big thing for me. I thought about going to Orlando just to see Josh, and I was very happy that he was able to do a seminar in Richmond, in my area. Josh was doing like a short winter tour. I think he hit North Carolina, Maryland, and Richmond, and Mongrel were very good about hosting it and letting non-members come in and train. My appreciation goes out to them, and very excited for the local wrestling that you mentioned earlier, Barroom Entertainment Wrestling in Mid-Atlantic. Very happy that wrestling is back in Virginia. Tony, any plugs?
Definitely go check out Mid-Atlantic Territory Wrestling. They're on Facebook and Instagram, and you can check out all of the shows at www.matwonline.com. Definitely, if you're in the Hampton, Virginia area, there's a brand new promotion called Brood Wrestling, which is a wrestling promotion that's going to be wrestling at a bar. And remember, it's only 21 and up. So if you want to check them out, definitely go check them out. They have their very first show on Thursday, March 16th in Hampton, Virginia. So definitely go check them out. And make sure you also keep an eye out for Next Up Pro Wrestling as well, also in Hampton, Virginia. But for the two shows that I just said, for March 4th and March 18th, definitely go check it out. That's for Mainland Territory Wrestling. Because I definitely know there's going to be really, really good matches. And this is like a very good lineup. But, I'm really excited that wrestling is back in Virginia. But I'm going to, for Next Up Pro Wrestling, I'm going to be there, definitely check these out if you guys are in the area. And John, any plugs for you?
Well, the only plug I've got coming up April 1st is the Georgia Bigfoot Conference in Dillard, Georgia. It's going to be a great event. And we'll see. We might have a professional wrestler or two there. We're working on that. So we've got a lot of great things coming up with number1paranormalnetwork.com and lots of great times. So anyway, guys, it's been great to talk with you tonight. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, 7:30 Eastern time. And look forward to having you there. And any final words from anybody?
Oh, and also I want to remind everyone, too, definitely March 24th to the 26th, if you're in the Richmond, Virginia area, go check out GalaxyCon at the Great Richmond Convention Center. GalaxyCon is an amazing Comic-Con, really fun times if you love cosplaying, and there will be some awesome celebrities there as well, so definitely go check it out at GalaxyCon.com.
Sounds great. Steve, you got anything?
Take it home. No.
All right. Well,
I hit the plugs earlier.
All right. Well, glad to have everybody on here, and we'll see everybody next week on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Everybody say goodbye now.
See you later.
Goodbye.